Yeah, good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Are we good? Yeah, awesome. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab it. Or if you're tech savvy, like some of the young people, you can grab your smart device, open your Bible app, not social media, and open it there to Exodus chapter 6. You know, every now and then, we would like someone to tell us what to do. Once in a blue moon, we don't know what to do, and it would relieve and take a huge burden off our shoulders if we had someone just to point us in the right direction. But most of the time, we do not like people telling us what to do. We say, no one tells me what to do. You're not going to boss me around. And even if you're too polite to maybe verbalize those words, I would gander to say there's the almost all of us in here have thought that in our heads at one time or another. You see, most of the time, we resent being told what to do. So how do you act or react then when it's God telling you what to do? Do you resist? Do you resent? Or do you joyfully obey? And this morning, we're going to take a look at a few individuals and each of their reactions to what God tells them to do. So let's get to it then. Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse number 28. On the day when the Lord, Yahweh, spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, I am the Lord. Now, do you get the sense? Especially if you've been here all some 11 weeks now in our study of Exodus up to this point. Do you get the sense that God is continually repeating himself? If you do the math, and don't worry, I have. But if you do the math, this is the fifth time in 29 verses that God has used the phrase, I am the Lord. And he's going to use it one more time before our time together is up this morning. Now, why is that? Is it because God's arrogant and narcissistic? Is it because Moses has a hard time hearing and he has trouble and has memory loss and he forgets what God has told him, and so he needs to be reminded over and over and over again? I highly doubt either of these explanations are the biblical reasons for why God is repeating himself. But here's one that I believe that is. You see, authority is tied to the individual making the command. You see, you and I obey higher authority, or at least we should. Unless you own your own business, and even then, you would say the customer is your boss. You see, no matter where you go or what you do, there is always someone that is in a higher authority than you. And we should obey. And we should do it gladly. And we do it even more gladly when that individual is trustworthy and when that individual is good. And God is saying here to Moses, I am the Lord. There is no one or no thing that is higher than me. You see, Moses, I am the ultimate authority. And if you haven't caught the net yet, this is the foundational purpose of the book of Exodus. I mean, sure, it's to liberate the people of Israel. Sure, it's to set them free. Sure, it's to make them as God's chosen people. But the primary purpose of Exodus, and again, dare I say, the entire scripture, is to show mankind who God is. To the Hebrews, to Moses, to Aaron, to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, to the other nations, and eventually even to you and to me. You see, he is the great I am. He has the final word. He and he alone holds the ultimate authority. And because of that, you and I should not only submit to him, you and I should gladly submit to him. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling to obey God, I'm here to tell you something. You don't need more willpower. You don't need to try to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and say, I'm going to do this. You know what, church? What you need to do is you need to know God more. You see, Exodus is a revelation of the name of God, of the character of God. And it is that way so that we can know Him better and therefore we serve Him better. Because when you know who God is, you can't help but serve. You can't help but willfully and joyfully obey Him, submit to Him. He tells Moses once again, I am the Lord. So here, Moses, this is what I want you to do. Let's keep reading. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, I am an uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me? Now, there are those scholars that believe that Moses is simply reiterating his first excuse or one of his first excuses that he gave God for not wanting to go to Pharaoh in the first place. He tells God, I am slow of speech and I am slow of tongue. But anytime you see the word uncircumcised in Scripture, it is either used to denote a physical state of someone or the unsuitableness of that individual or that person for what God has called him or her to do. So, for example, we are fallen, we are broken, we are depraved, and we are wholly unsuited to do that which God wants us to do. So I believe Moses here is saying the same thing in verse 30 that he did in chapter 3, verse 11. He says, who am I? God, who am I? I am unclean. I am unsuitable to do this task because of what you have called me to do, because of my fallen nature. You see, I am guilty of murdering someone. I've done some heinous things, God, in my past. I'm uncircumcised lips. And besides, didn't you catch it? My family tree back a couple of verses earlier in the chapter. The majority of my relatives are not spiritual giants. I don't think you have the right person. And like many of us here in this room, Moses still thinks it's based on him. Moses still thinks that this plan that God has called him from or called him to do out of the land of Midian, he still thinks that it rests on what he can do. And listen, anytime you and I think that it's up to us to accomplish what God has laid on your heart to do, your first knee-jerk reaction will be to begin to make excuses of why you can't. I can't do this, God, because. Well, I can never do that, God, because. And you just fill in the blank, and I guarantee you that whatever your blank is, it has something to do with your limitation, your brokenness, or your sinful nature. You want to know something? If I did that, you would not have a pastor on Sunday mornings. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've struggled with sin in my own life only to have to stand up here in front of all of you and preach God's holy word. It's not up to Moses and it's not up to us. It's up to God. Why? Because you and I, as believers in Christ, we do not place our faith in ourselves. All our sufficiency and all who we are rely on God. And that is why the Apostle Paul, the missionary upon missionaries who wrote the majority of the New Testament, is probably the sole reason why you and I are even in this room today. Paul says these words in Philippians 4:13. You know what? I can do nothing on my own, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, Paul understood that it wasn't based on him, because if it were, he would be disqualified. He would be out. And how was he able to make that declaration? How are we able today to make that declaration? He tells us how in Galatians 2:20. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You see, no Moses, you can't do it. No Moses, in fact, you are not even worthy to be called by God. But listen to what God tells him in chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. You see, God comes to Moses and he tells Moses, stop thinking it's based on what you can do or what you cannot do. You see, I have made you like me. Now, this does not mean that Moses was divine. This does not mean that Moses was perfect. Instead, what God is trying to tell Moses is that he has made Moses to represent him before Pharaoh. You see, God's response to Moses was what God was trying to accomplish with creation in the first place. Do you remember Genesis chapter 2? What does God say? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. You see, Adam was supposed to be God's representative here on earth. He was created in the image of God to be like God. But Adam failed to live up to that image, to act like God, and to rule as God's representative here on earth. But thanks be to God that Christ came. And because of Christ's sacrifice and what he did on the cross, he comes and restores God's image on mankind. You and I have now been made new, which is why Scripture declares, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And Paul ends it and he says this. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors. Translation, we are representatives of Christ. Which means this. Which means if you are ridiculed for your faith, if you are made fun of at school because of what you believe or at work, if someone rejects your invitation of coming to church, or accepting the gospel or receiving the gospel, they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting God. You see, it's not so much whether or not if Pharaoh will listen to Moses. It has everything to do if Pharaoh will listen to God. I have made you, Moses, like God. You are my representative. I am going to give you the words to speak. So it's not you speaking, it's me speaking through you. Pharaoh doesn't reject Moses, he rejects God. And I'm here to tell you, church, that as Christians, you and I struggle with this. We wrestle with this all the time, whether or not we would like to admit it. You see, as believers in Christ, you and I are not immune. You see, we're like Pharaoh at times. We will say the question like this, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Why should I let God meddle in my affairs? Why should I let God have the final say in my life? And so what we'll do is we'll limit our obedience. We'll begin to rationalize our behavior. We'll begin to make excuses and we'll begin to say things like this. Well, how far is too far? How close to the edge can I get without falling over? What is the least amount of things that I can get away with? Why should I deny my feelings? You see, God made me this way. You know, Pharaoh asked these kinds of questions, and as predicted, he refused to listen. And the reason why he refused to listen, though, is an exegetical nightmare for those of us to answer. Look at verse number 3. This is God still talking. He says, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my host, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. You see, that doesn't sound fair, does it not? Verse 3. God says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. You know, that rubs us the wrong way. How is that even possible? How does Pharaoh even have a chance? And so we ask ourselves this question, well, who then hardened Pharaoh's heart? Who was it that caused Pharaoh not to listen? So if you look at your screen, you'll see I've broken it down. At least 3 times in this Exodus story, we're told that it was Pharaoh. That Pharaoh hardened his heart. You see the verses on your screen right there. 4 times we're told that Pharaoh's heart remained hardened or was hardened. And this is what I describe as being hardened as a result of nature. Life happened and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But 6 times we're told that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. So which is it? Was it Pharaoh? Was it life? Or was it God? And so I'm going to answer this, all the above. You see, Pharaoh refused to listen because Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Pharaoh also refused to listen because of circumstances. You see, life happened. Situations happened. And because of those circumstances, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But it is also true that Pharaoh refused to listen because the Lord, Yahweh, the great I Am, hardened his heart. You see, we have to take all 3 of these perspectives simultaneously. Pharaoh determines Pharaoh's actions. Life has a way of bringing us down, and God determines our actions as well. Or to put it another way, Pharaoh freely chose what God had freely chosen that he would do, and the circumstances didn't help. So all the above. Now let me just say this real fast before we move on. Unless you're thinking I'm taking the easy way out and I've copped out an answer. As I said earlier, Pharaoh is not innocent. See, a lot of times we'll read into this story something that is not there. You see, for the simple fact that Pharaoh had flesh on his skin automatically made him at odds with the Creator. Paul described our state before knowing Christ this way in Colossians 1:21. He says, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Who's the you in Colossians 1:21? It's the believers. It's the Christians right now. And Paul is saying that before you came to know Christ, you were alienated. You were hostile to God. Translation, you were guilty. You see, oftentimes we don't choose to follow God. We don't choose to obey God because we don't want to. We choose not to. We want to sin. And the more we disobey, the more our hearts are hardened. And this hardening of our hearts overthrows all reasons, and we'll find excuses for our sinful desires. We'll look for reasons to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And when it all unravels, instead of repenting and returning back to God, more often than not, we go further into sin. And it's all because you and I still wrestle with this thing called flesh. And Scripture says that the spirit and the flesh, they're at war with one another. They're at complete opposites of the other. So when you find out what God wants to do, guess what? You automatically, more often than not, want to do, you want to do the opposite. God reveals something in your heart about what you should do, and you're like, I don't want to. And the reason why you go, I don't want to, is because of your sin nature. Which is why, if you're here in this room, and you're deliberately sinning right now, if you're doing something that you know is against God's will, and you do not feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your heart, red lights and sirens need to be going off in your mind right now. Do not brush away the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God tells us in Romans that if you keep sinning, he will turn you over to that mind, i.e. your heart will become hardened. Don't harden your heart to what God is wanting to do in and through you. Because I'm telling you, church, you will know God one or two ways. You will know God either through salvation, or you will know God through his judgment. You will either know him through the saving and powerful grace of Jesus Christ, or you will know him through his mighty acts of judgment. And I'm telling you what, I would rather it be the former, not the latter. So it's not an either or scenario being played out here with Pharaoh. It's a both and. But in the process of all that, we need to understand that Pharaoh is not innocent in all of this. He's complicit. He's not a victim. And God allows this to happen because of what he said in verse number 5, so that the Egyptians may know. And this knowledge of God is going to be revealed through his awesome acts and through the words of a couple of 80-year-olds. Check this out, verse 6. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Amazing. Don't tell me you're too old to do something for God. Let's wrap this up. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Did you catch that? I tried to highlight it in the verses that we just read. Two times it said that Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. And for the next 2.5 chapters or so in Exodus, you're going to see this recurring theme being played out. God speaks, Moses and Aaron obey, God demonstrates his power and authority, and yet Pharaoh's heart remains hardened. You see, it really comes down to this. Are you going to obey what God says or aren't you? You see, the true litmus test of a believer comes down to this fact. It comes down to it's your actions, not what you believe. It's about what you do, not your laundry list of doctrinal statements that you have posted on your wall. You see, James warns us in James 1:19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So you believe that Jesus is God's son? You believe that he died on the cross for your sins and rose 3 days later? Good for you. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. What makes the difference in the life of you and me as believers in Christ is that we will be faithful, obedient servants to what God says. And this obedience has ramifications well past your own eternal personal destination. You see, other people's eternities are at stake. Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 12. And in verse number 38, it tells us this, that a mixed group left Egypt. A mixed multitude. So what scholars believe is that since Israel and Egypt are the only two nations that are mentioned, especially up to this point, it seems like this mixed multitude, this group that left Egypt, included not only the Hebrews, but also Egyptians as well. In which case, the plagues didn't just serve as an act of judgment against Egypt, it served as salvation for them. God said so that the Egyptians may know. Well, JD, you don't know that. And you're reading into the text. Well, maybe I am, but look at this last verse, Isaiah chapter 19, verse 24. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet states. In that day, Israel will be the third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people. Did you catch that? God said, blessed be Egypt, my people. These are the people that enslaved the Israelites. These are the people that threw their sons into the Nile River. These are the people that persecuted them and said things against them. And yet, because of the Exodus and because of Moses' and Aaron's obedience to God, they are named among the redeemed. Egypt, my people. If we could only see that our actions or even our inactions have ramifications well beyond our own personal consequences. Listen, I love you guys. I know I say it every Sunday, or at least I try to. I really do. But some of you here have allowed life to harden your heart. Someone has hurt you or done something to you in the past, and you're not allowing the Spirit to heal you. How do I know this? Because you'll say things like, I will never let that happen again. Do you know what you're doing in that moment? You are hardening your heart to what God may want to do in you. And I get it. I know you don't think I get it. I get it. We've had people leave this church and they've hurt us. And Corey and I have said to ourselves, well, maybe not Corey, she's really spiritual, but I've at least said to myself, why do we even bother getting close to know people? Why do we even bother letting people in? Because they're just going to leave anyway. I've made comments before. I'm just being transparent. I made comments before where I've said, well, here, let the countdown begin. Here in about another year, 2 years, these people are going to be gone. Your church is fantastic, John David. Your church is amazing. If I'm not careful, my heart will harden. If I'm not careful, I will close myself off to what God is wanting to say in my life and how God is wanting to use me. Some of you here in this room have hardened your heart. And I'm begging you, please, I'm begging you, by the mercies of God, seek His word, seek what He says, and then obey. It's that simple. What God says, we do it. Because we have trust and faith in Him that what He says is for our good. And He wants the best. He says, I've come to give you life and life to the full. And the only way we can experience that full life is if we submit to Him. But it goes far deeper than just what happens to us. There are people in your life that are, their eternities hang in the balance because of what you do or don't do. Some of you in this room, you have families, you have kids, you have grandkids, you have great grandkids. God has placed some of you in a place of work, of employment. He surrounded you with people who are watching you. And are you going to obey? Or are you going to allow your heart to say, no, I'm not letting them in. No, I'm going to refuse. Pharaoh did that. It does not end well for Pharaoh. Don't let it happen to you. Submit. Surrender your heart to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your Spirit is constantly moving. That your mercies are new every single day. And I thank you for that because I mess up every single day. I make mistakes. I've hurt people. I've said things to people. I've had people say things to me, but praise be to God that your blood washes over every sin. So I'm able to say to someone, I forgive you. I release you of the penalty. You hurt me. You did things to me. And now because of Christ, I release you because that penalty was paid for on the cross. Father, there could be people in this room that are having difficulty saying that. There could be people in this room that are struggling to even let those words come out of their mouth because their heart has been broken. So, Father, we ask in these next few moments that you do some work on us, that we allow your arms to surround us and just to wrap us in your love. Help us to be changed by your Spirit, Father. So in these next few moments, Spirit, do what only you can do. For it's in your precious Son's name I pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. If you would, please stand as we sing and worship God.